Yes, this is Carl Mizler. I'm a journalist with a variety of news services in Great Britain. You are about to listen to a truly very talented man. Phil Hendry does most of the voices of, in fact, all the guests that Phil Hendry has on his program are actually played by Mr. Hendry himself. So listen very carefully in this next hour as Mr. Hendry will do the voice of the character, the actual guest, and these imbeciles will call in and talk to the fake person, you see. That's how it... Okay, well, whatever.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Well, the crew is home. The guys, the crew of the EP3 that was taken, actually not taken, but had to land, an emergency landing in Hainan, on Hainan Island in China. They're back. They flew overnight to Guam and then to Hawaii, and then they're coming back to Whidbey Island, Washington State. And they are now going to go into a couple of days of debriefing, and that is when intelligence basically debriefs these people, asks them what they saw, asks them what they did. And I think it's possible. I don't know anything about these kinds of things. This is a military debriefing is obviously something that is well known to members of the military, and it's for purposes of gathering information. Art Griego is a retired commercial pilot. He also flew in Vietnam and is with us from Santa Monica right now to talk to us about the debriefing that these guys are going to be going through. Art, thanks for joining us on late notice.
My pleasure, Phil.
Can you tell me what these the crew members of the EP3, when they go in to be debriefed by the military, who's going to be debriefing them, first of all?
Most probably it'll be Navy intelligence. And Navy intelligence will then... trying to get some information out of it. You got to understand that they're going to be going up for a couple of days. They're going to put a microscope, right up their rear ends. If you pardon the expression, it's not going to be a walk in the park.
What do you mean? For the crew members, it won't be easy?
For the crew members, it's not going to be easy because all of the yellow ribbons have been tied, and just because I don't mean to be insulting, but just because some fat woman sitting on a porch is waving a yellow ribbon at you doesn't mean that Navy intelligence isn't going to take a big... and again, I'm going to use some very coarse language, Phil.
Go ahead.
It doesn't mean Navy intelligence isn't going to take a big dump on you, because these guys, there is every indication that somebody screwed the pooch on this job.
All right. Well, so what the Navy intelligence is going to have these crew members, they're going to be debriefing them, and they're going to be what? Chastising them?
Well, let's be clear. I think we have to. These pilots and these crew members blew their mission.
And if they blew their mission?
Yeah. Their aircraft fell into the hands of the very people that they were surveilling. I think the question now is whether there are grounds, and I'm sure the military is going to look at... And I'm not saying this is going to happen, Phil, but I'm sure the military is looking at the possibility of a court-martial.
And tell me how this... You say that they blew their mission, which is very probable. They lost their aircraft. It's in the hands of the Chinese. They could have killed themselves.
Well, that's it in a nutshell. The aircraft is in the hands of the Chinese. I heard a lady today on the news. She's the grandmother of one of these crew members. She lives out here in the valley, and she said that she was looking forward to seeing her son or her grandson. And I remember thinking, it's very possible she could be looking at that kid through a pane of glass and talking to him on a telephone.
So you think it's a very real possibility they're going to court-martialed and see the brig? Or
I don't know. They compromised national security. They jeopardized sensitive surveillance equipment. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have made that choice. I don't know. It could very well be that the Navy and the military in general is much more lenient these days than it was in my day. I remember, I can tell you, Phil, when I was flying, they didn't cut us any slack. And, I used to go up with full knowledge that I had the very security of my nation in my hands. And it just, I got to tell you something, Phil, as an American and as a... as a former serviceman, right now the idea of the Chinese clapping their hands and giggling over scroll after scroll of sensitive microfilm, the idea of those yellow... Just forgive me.
All right, so it upsets you.
Very much so, yeah.
Well, what would you have done? By the way, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego is on to tell us about what it means, what this debriefing will be all about that these crew members are going to be going through here for the next couple of days in Hawaii. What would you have done? You say that you wouldn't have done this?
I would have done things a little bit differently than this captain.
This pilot who's Shane Osborne from Nebraska.
Yeah, I would have done things a little bit differently.
Such as?
I think you have to look at the possibility of terminating the flight. And
what do you mean by terminate?
What we call impact immolation. And I mean crashing the aircraft so that all materials are destroyed.
And what about the crew?
I think you look at the possibility of giving your life for your country. I flew in Vietnam. I would have considered it an honor to crash my aircraft into the ground rather than let those yellow men... I wasn't going to let them put me in the Hanoi Hilton. And
you're very emotional about this. I want to hear specifically...
Well, specifically, if it were me flying this particular mission, I would have taken that aircraft, aimed it for a control... excuse me. Aimed it for the control tower and taken a few of them with me.
Well, that is a openly, brazenly hostile act, okay?
They are about to get their hands on sensitive surveillance equipment. They are about to get their hands on sensitive equipment that has to do with the security of our country and the way that we survey other countries. Those crew members are going to have to wake up every morning and look at themselves in the mirror and say, why did I have the guts? This Shane Osborne...
What you're saying, Art, is crashing the plane in a kamikaze-style manner, taking out the control tower and destroying all the equipment on board. Now, we have moved past, I hope, the days of the kamikaze and this kind of phony baloney military honor where one commits suicide.
No, not my life. And there's a lot of veterans out there that agree with me, and a lot of people, I think, who stand for something in this country would agree with me. This Shane Osborne, who was the pilot, I don't know why he did not, do the right thing.
What is doing the right thing? Crashing the plane?
Well, instead of crashing the plane, is upon his arrival in Hawaii, asked to be alone for a few moments, take a nickel-plated revolver, aim it just above his right ear, and he would have received fully...
You're talking about a man committing suicide. He got back alive, and he has this vital information that you're talking about. This debriefing that the Navy, or whoever the hell is going to be doing, these guys have got things to tell. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
When this you're recommending that this Shane Osborne commits suicide?
It would be difficult for me to live with the shame. I understand. It's a different time. But if you do the right thing, if you... self-inflicted gunshot wound just over the right ear, you would get full military honors. Otherwise, he could be thrown in a pauper's grave upon his death.
All right. Well, it's not going to happen, and you're all right. This is a different time and place.
Let's wait and see what the NSI comes up with before we start giving people reach-arounds, Phil. Because
what your opinion is that these guys could very well be in trouble for the manner in which they disposed of this situation.
By landing that thing... they delivered that aircraft into the hands of the Chinese like you're bringing a birthday cake into a 7-year-old's birthday party. Just put it on the table, light the candles, have fun. Wow. That's the part that frosts me.
That the Chinese have the plane.
That they brought it in and it was like the Chinese New Year is in February. And I guess that's the closest that those people come to a Christmas. So, Happy New Year.
Would you call yourself a racist?
No, sir, I would not.
You wouldn't call yourself a racist, even though you've been saying those yellow this, Happy New Year, and the yellow Vietnamese?
No, sir, I am not. I just love my country. And it just burns me that they got... Oh, man.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego, retired airline pilot, flew missions in Vietnam. is saying that it's possible this crew could be up for a court-martial, and that if he had been flying that plane, and he seems to think that other flyers might do the same thing, he would never have turned it over to the Chinese. He would have, in a kamikaze-style dive, crashed it in the control tower at this airport, quote, taking a few of them with me, end quote. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. With me is Art Griego, a former commercial airline pilot and Vietnam veteran who is expressing some shocking views about this crew of the EP-3. You're saying these people could be court-martialed for delivering highly sensitive equipment into the hands of the enemy. You also said that this Shane Osborne should do the right thing and shoot himself.
Well, I think that you just don't do that. You just don't deliver United States military hardware into the hands of the Chinese. These are the same guys that pushed us back at the Yalu River. These are the same guys that pushed us back at Chosin Reservoir in Korea. Oh, man. I got to tell you, I can feel my everything inside of me tightening up. And last time I saw news like this...
Right.
And you get constipated. You can't pass anything through your bowels. Nothing.
Well, you're wound tighter than a drum. You said that you'd rather crash your plane in Vietnam than have had the North Vietnamese put you in the Hanoi Hilton.
That is correct. And in this particular mission, I would have taken out something, anything. Just aim it right at one of those little people and...
Just... And even though you've got 24 of your fellow...
They know the risk. They know the risk.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Bob, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to make a comment about that. That is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. I served in the Army 24 years, and the fact of killing your own people just to protect obsolete technology that...
Well, wait a second. You don't know what's... That's not your judgment call to make. You don't know whether it's obsolete or not.
I work for a computer company now. The products we're putting out on the street now are more obsolete. They even get to the customer.
What did you do in the Army?
That the crew is trained.
What did you do in the Army?
This is a very smart and intelligent military force we have. They've destroyed most of the technical stuff.
Well, we don't know that. That's where they're being debriefed, because we don't know exactly what happened. What did you do in the Army?
I was a first sergeant when I retired, 25th
right.
Infantry Division.
What? All right, you were an infantry division. I don't know what your duties were, but you never felt like killing yourself.
No, I never felt like killing myself, praise God. I love
all
life.
Right.
I had three brothers in
but
Vietnam,
you were, if
and
you,
thank God they all came home.
If you
and
didn't,
none of them wanted to die.
You didn't? In other words, if you failed in your duty... And I don't know what, for instance...
What were some of your duties? Bob, this is Phil Hendry. What were some of your duties?
I was in the North Sinai. I was in Panama. I was in the invasion of Haiti. I've done all of those things.
All right, and if the invasion of Haiti had not gone properly, you wouldn't have shot yourself.
No, I would not have shot myself.
All right, that's where you and I differ.
Well, wait a minute. If the invasion of Haiti... So, in other words, the man evacuates himself. Let's say the invasion of Haiti didn't work. He evacuates himself.
And on the boat back, I think you got to do the right thing.
Every guy?
Yeah.
You know, I think you were right, Phil. This guy is wound up tighter than the drum.
I think you're a little...
Wait. I believe in my country. I believe in the United States flag. I believe in protecting my nation. And if I fail in my mission, may no one come back alive.
That's right out of the movie Patton. Did you know that?
What?
That's right out of the movie Patton.
I don't care what movie it's out of.
All I got to say is this. in the U.S. forces nowadays, we value life more than we do a piece of animated equipment.
Of course we do.
And we protect one another, and we love this country. To say that I'm not, I don't love my country and my flag, you know.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you should have, at some point in your military career, have been tempted to put some cold, hard steel in your mouth and do the right thing.
No, that, you know,
did you ever
expect that from some guy in an insane asylum?
What are you
not
talking about?
Somebody who's wearing
did you
military
ever get
uniform of the United States of America.
Did you ever
he
get
stand proud and tall and be ready to
as he holds
fight
a gun to his head? Did you
no
ever get kitchen duty, Phil, in the service?
I never had the honor of serving in
I think a crisp, smart salute as you hold a pistol to your head. And did you ever get kitchen duty, Bob?
KP duty, yes.
Yeah, and you never wanted to blow your brains out.
No. Because,
I just don't get that
kind of
thing.
I wouldn't die over a potato just like I wouldn't die over a hard drive.
But the humiliation
of I would die over my brothers that were in uniform.
All right,
but
Bob,
I would not die for a piece of animated equipment.
I think you've answered that question very well. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. As we talk to Art Griego here, he was in Vietnam, flew missions in Vietnam, and is saying that the crew of the EP-3 should have crashed it into the control tower of Hainan Island rather than let the Chinese get their hands on that equipment. Here is Tom on the Phil Hendry Show.
That is correct.
Tom, hello? Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Tom.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Do you have your radio turned up?
No, I don't. I'm on a cell phone.
Go ahead.
I apologize.
We can hear you fine.
Okay, I spent 32 years in the Air Force. I was a pilot for almost 28 of those years. Okay, I do support some of the information that this Art has kind of relayed to you, but I also believe that a lot of the information and a lot of the things he's doing is just guessing. Are they open to a possible court-martial? Yeah, anything's possible.
That's
there
correct.
There are a lot of inherent risks involved in military duty, as most people well know. But I think he's also kind of a charge full of a lot of emotion. And although it's good to have emotion for your country, it's also not good to kind of confuse the issue.
Well, I think that they needed to just make the decision that they were all going to burn together.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Okay.
Wouldn't and just go in a ball of flames.
Oh, yeah. My God. I mean,
one of the precepts that that most people that have been involved in the military.
I think what you do is you douse the interior of the craft with gasoline.
Okay.
And you set that yoke forward. You take one last drag on a cigarette. Is that right, Tom? Pitch it into that gas. A crisp salute.
Oh, come on, a crisp salute. What do you mean one last drag on a cigarette?
You know, Phil, I was in the military. Were you?
No, I wasn't, but this gentleman, Tom, was.
Well, all right. He knows what I'm saying.
Phil, let me just make one more statement here.
Go ahead, Tom.
You take one final drag of that cigarette and toss it into the gasoline.
A lot of this is just pure emotion.
Movie
here.
Crap.
And it's a lot of the stuff is just really ludicrous. Nobody in the military in their right mind would be willing. Most everybody would be willing to give their life for the country.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
But also in the same instance too, there has to be a reason, and there has to be some kind of line of sanity.
All right, Tom, that's a good point. Thank you. I got to run on to another call, 1-800-449-8686.
But you notice he didn't say anything about you take a long drag on the cigarette, you throw it.
Yeah, you pitch it into the gasoline, and you take it in. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
First thing I want to say is that since we are not at war with China, if a military person flew their plane into the tower, that would be an act of terrorism. And if someone survived, they could try the terror.
Now, wait a second. You know as well as I do those red Chinese want to get their hands on everything that we've got.
We are not at war with China.
Oh,
that is the first
on
thing. So if
are you
China
a military?
Has,
are you a military guy?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm the same generation as you.
Then you know what I'm
talking
about.
I was a Marine Corps officer in Vietnam. And using your reasoning as a pilot in Vietnam, since we basically lost that war, I don't know. I don't understand why you're alive.
Wait a minute. Those Chinese.
Since you
that's
could not stop
right
as a pilot,
right,
you could not stop the North Vietnamese from infiltrating South Vietnam.
Then
why
you should have done the right
life
thing. Why didn't you take your own life?
Look, those
because
Chinese.
I don't believe see that. You're the one that sees that.
John, those Chinese that pee their pants watching a fireball screaming out of the sky right toward that tower, it would have been beautiful, and you know it.
Well, but it's irrelevant. It's just irrelevant.
John,
first thing you learn is we do not start wars.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego with Phil Hendry on The Phil Hendry Show.
And you'd have 3 days of the clap drip, and you would...
Hold on for a minute.
What?
Never mind. Oh, God. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego, former pilot in Vietnam, flew missions, a former commercial pilot, and said that if it had been he who was piloting the EP-3 so-called spy plane, he would never have turned it over to the Chinese. Rather, he would have crashed it with all members aboard into the control tower to take out some of the Chinese with the crash.
Absolutely.
Don't you think that is a rash move? All crew members are dead.
Look, as members of the military, Phil, it's our job to protect our country. You're asking me to turn over highly sensitive equipment to the Chinese, even if it's the Russians. But the Chinese, I had to fight them, and they were all over the place in Vietnam. They were everywhere. And
then the Shane Osborne should have shot himself.
I believe that is the dignified way to go out, nickel-plated revolver just above the right ear in the middle of a field with a whipping off a crisp salute.
All right, let me go to Chris. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead, sir.
I just have a question. Aren't these guys, they're trained, as you touched on earlier, to destroy all this stuff? So they're trained to land and have all the stuff destroyed when they get landed. They're not trained to go in a firing ball into a tower or anything.
Well, unfortunately, we're not sure whether they got all the stuff, and there is some question as to whether the Chinese have not been able to, you know, bring stuff off that plane. So you don't know, and I'm saying that if they don't have enough time, they're in a aircraft that is disabled, I got to make a judgment call. And what I do is I have probably my first lieutenant splash the interior of the cabin with gasoline, take one final drag on a cigarette, say goodbye to my mother, and flick it right in there.
You said you were a commercial pilot, right?
Huh?
You were a commercial pilot?
Yes.
Pilot?
Yeah.
When you were late, did you push down the yoke and douse yourself with gasoline, or do what you were supposed to and as you were trained?
Well, you mean as a commercial pilot?
It doesn't make any sense. You're saying that you should have gone against their training. Doing the honorable thing is doing what you're trained to do.
Well, that's absolutely, but what if you fail to do what you're trained to do, then you've only got one choice, and that's a nickel-plated revolver with a...
Yeah, just above the right ear, we understand.
Well, that's what you got to do. And Chris, I'm sure you would agree with me that if you failed your country, you would probably want to just open up that cargo door and walk out.
I don't know about that, but I would.
Well, what
want
do you,
to do
you mean you want to live?
Possibly could.
You'd want to live?
I'd want.
If what are you talking about?
My country trained me to do, and it wasn't the right thing, then yes, I would want to live.
Well, what if you failed at getting all the spy equipment out of that plane? Now you got a chance, and I want you to think about it, Chris. You can aim the nose of that thing, get them on your 12 o'clock, aim the nose of that thing right at that tower, and you could probably take out about a half a dozen of them yellow. Oh, man.
Or
yes.
I could not.
And what you're doing.
Start a war, and I could come back to my country and be tried and let the people, and let a jury decide if I did it wrong, a military jury.
You're going to stand there on court TV.
Yourself is running away from.
Sitting there on court TV looking like a pussy. Yeah, right.
Okay, watch the language.
Whatever the military does,
Chris,
the court martial, I'll sit there and take what they give me.
Look, and imagine how beautiful it is, a flaming ball of fire coming right into that. Into that control tower, and you're at the controls.
With you, and then risking starting a war over it. That sounds like a great idea.
No, I'm just saying you're at the controls of something that's on fire. What's wrong with that?
Hey, if I'm at the controls of something on fire, I think I'd feel pretty bad at that time.
Not if you're going to take out the... Okay, forget it. You know, Tom Cruise isn't going to be your lawyer in a court-martial. He's not going to be there to save your rear end, Chris.
I'm going to the court-martial and be guilty for not doing my duty, but at least I didn't run away from it.
And you don't want to set the plane on fire?
No, I don't. It's not worth starting an incident.
What a nut.
Yeah, he's a nut. He's nuts. 1-800-449-8... I mean...
Just imagine a thousand... Imagine...
What?
A thousand screaming Chinese running for their lives and you and you at the controls.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
It's like a video game.
Yeah, it's great.
God, I crack myself up.
Yeah, you're really a riot, man.
Well, I'm being serious, though. And
well, what do you mean a thousand screaming Chinese with you at the controls?
I could just see them running in front of the plane. Is there any point in taking another call?
I don't think so. Not after that.
God, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to know what it'd be like to be Godzilla.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. I just saw this thing on TV that they were talking to the head of the NAACP. He's in Cincinnati and he's standing on a street. And I was looking at the cars. So, well, they have a curfew in Cincinnati between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. But there were actually cars driving behind him. And I realized, well, they were police cars. And then right behind those, some radio station van. You know, some cats in this business. Where, whatever it takes, man. And that's okay, you know. So the guy goes, yeah, but you know who's driving that thing? Some intern who isn't getting paid. Hey, Eddie, yeah, want to move up into business? Sure. Why don't you drive the radio station van around tonight in the middle of this curfew? Then, if you get gunned down, there's a little trickle of blood coming out of your ear and you're leaning against the driver's side window, it'll be great. We'll put you on the air. So it's some kid who's not getting paid. He's a high school intern. He wants to work at the local rock station, and he wants to meet all the DJs. So they bring the kid on for, like, no bread to pass out bumper stickers at malls, and he winds up getting shot by the Cincinnati police because he's like, want a bumper sticker? Pow! Let me have that,
man.
I got my 360 here. I wanted to demonstrate. I'm sorry, folks. Okay, the hotkey's not assigned on that one. This is really a long way to run for a lot of bullcrap, but let me see if I have it. Yeah, here it is right here. This is essentially how it would sound. Hi, mister. I'm from Rock 100. Would you like a bumper sticker? Hi, I'm Dookie, and I'm an intern, and I'm with Rock 100. How about a T-shirt? Hey, all you black folks, would you like some free CDs? Anyway, I mean, that's sad. Who was the poor kid driving that thing? Hey, how you doing, man? Because you meet these kids. They're great kids. They work as interns. They say, hey, what are you doing, man? Oh, you know, I'm passing out bumper stickers down at the mall this weekend, and I got keychains and stuff and all that stuff. And, Mike, didn't you start out doing that for K-Earth? You were doing that. You know, and you'll go anywhere and you'll do anything. You'll just do anything. So you're generally the guy who, you know, there's been rioting downtown. Would you mind going down and running the board for our talk show host who's going to be at his home in Beverly Hills? No, not at all. I'd love to. In fact, I'll go down there and I'll do a phone screening. Yeah, and in the middle of a riot, it's probably not the best time to be passing out keychains. You know, I don't know. Chapstick and keychains. Hey, all you people that are breaking into those stores, how about some chapstick? I think you don't want any? Okay. Sorry, I'm backing off. I'm backing it up, man. Just backs the van right out of downtown. Doesn't turn it around, backs it up.
Hi, would you guys like a...
No, I don't want a keychain.
Okay, anyway, so that's the thing that I saw. By the way, President Bush said that he was taking a hardline stance on China. He hasn't taken a hardline... He couldn't take a hardline stance on Laura in a hot tub, man. What a hardline stance. I love what's going on with that whole China deal. The spin is that we... Apparently, we kicked their ass. Well, here's the bottom line. We didn't. We didn't do jack. They got the plane, they got their apology, and we looked like a bunch of schmucks. And here is even more of the bottom line, because what Art Griego was kind of, he's almost right. They're going to go into a debriefing, and it ain't going to be pleasant. What do you think debriefing is? You think they're going to go in there and just, hey, how you guys doing? You want some coffee? Everything okay? Because about 6 hours of that, man, they're going to be on, they're going to have a microscope shoved up there, and it ain't going to be the most pleasant thing in the world. They're going to be hot-seating these guys, grilling them. How did it happen? How did they get it? What did you destroy? Did you get it all? You didn't? Oh, boy. So that last guy, I heard the guy say that could be a court-martial. I don't know. All right, let's move on to some stuff that I really would be a lot more fun talking about. We got the Easter weekend coming up, and I'm going to be taking the, we're going to be going out, and me and Nick are going to be driving out tonight to the desert. And it's going to be a blast. And I asked my wife, did they lay in a supply of tequila? And yes, they did. That's my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. And that's Big Al, the guy that shoots a 75 and he's 72. It's going to be really nice to just to chill. Do you know that it's 94 out there? Read it and weep, baby. I don't know where you're listening to me tonight. 94. It's not 94, right? It's going to be 94 in Palm Springs on Sunday. It's going to be upper 80s on Saturday. It's right now probably about 75. The kids are in the pool. The chicken is tasting good and the cotton's high and your mama's good looking. It's sweet. And do you think I'm out there right now? No, I'm here talking about all of this falderol, all of these things that are just sort of, well, things that are beyond our control. Craig is going to be out there the weekend of the 28th and the 29th doing what? You're going out to the Coachella concert? Because who's playing out there, man? Stone Temple Pilots? Oh, Jane's Addiction is going to be at the Coachella Festival. Boy, they've fallen a long way. Anyway, Jane's Addiction is going to be... They're going to be at the Coachella Festival in Indio. Is that the Date Palm Festival? It's just, it's really sweet out there. So we're going to be going out, and we'll be taking the kids, and we're going to be having a blast. And I'm 238 pounds, and if you think I'm on Weight Watchers this weekend, you are dreaming a sweet dream, because it ain't going to happen. 238, man, I'm very proud of myself. As of this morning, I lost another half pound. And I would say that's pretty good. Last week, it was 239.5, so a pound and a half for the week. You see, you can't lose it all at once, and you can't lose it with a lot of you guys are losing it, but that's beside the point. You can't lose it at the same, you know, heavyweight clip that you did initially. People are noticing. I'm feeling better. I'm hungrier than hell. I ate all three sandwiches. You know what I did today? I went and I had lunch across the street. I had my ahi tuna with the wonderful Sicily salad. Then I came immediately back here and ate my two-point sandwiches, three that I made. So I burned up probably 14 points on lunch. Because I'm tired. I was getting hungry there for a while. I don't know why that was happening. This morning, I had three hot dogs minus the bun for breakfast. Because I'm bacheloring the whole thing, and Maria's not home, so we're not really eating meals. It's just me and the eldest guy, and he says, well, what do you want to have for dinner? I don't know. Want to set out for pizza or something, man? Well, Mom usually cook. Well, I'm not cooking. What do you know, there's some cold crap in here. I don't know, whatever. This is a sausage or something. Let's just, you know, you got to get used to the bachelor life sooner or later. So, you know, things are going good, and then I got up this morning, and I did my, I ain't your mom, okay, dude? No, but I worked out this morning, and, you know, so we're going to have a very nice weekend out there. But the thing of it is and I think that I'm cool with, look, if you got any kids listening, tell them to go away from the radio right now. I'm going to do more of this, by the way. I'm going to let you know when we're going to do something highly sensitive, something that could possibly get me in trouble with the FCC. We're going to let you know before we do it. That way, there's no excuse. You can get the kids moved away from the radio. Are you ready? It's about to happen. Because I know we will get bloodthirsty complaint calls when I lay this one out there. You ready? Get the kids out of here. And if you're sensitive, you don't want to hear this, get out of here yourself, too. Okay? Here it is. There's no Easter Bunny. And Maria's got me, I got to put all the Easter candy in the trunk of my car because she couldn't take it out with her because Catherine, she'd see it. And little Catherine, she's the cool one, man. She still believes in Santa. She's still got that Easter Bunny thing going. Yes, we highly promote it in our house. Yes, we lie and we say there is a Santa and an Easter Bunny. And guess what? We don't care if it's going to damage her later on. We don't care if when she finds out there isn't a Santa Claus, yes, it's not going to hurt her. She's going to be fine. Remember that person that used to be working around here, the one that walked out last week? When I said that we actually told the kids there was a Santa Claus, she had this disapproving look on her face. Like it's some kind of a big-ass lie. Yeah, check it out, man. It's a beautiful thing, and we let the kids know, and screw you if you can't have a couple of giggles. By the way, Catherine just turned 21. Now, I wanted to just say, so anyway, there's no Easter Bunny. Now, you think that what I'm saying here, has to do with some sort of, you know, that I'm joking. I'm not joking. People, what? Okay, so what do you want me to do? Take the call? Hold on for a minute. Yes, sir. Corona, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can I help you?
Yes, sir, you can. I don't know whether or not you did that intentionally or on purpose, but you just said there's no Easter Bunny, and I have two children here who are very, very deeply hurt, as I am about...
Now, sir, I said don't listen to the radio.
I understand that, but I think that you have an obligation to the people who listen to your program. And you have an obligation, I think, to especially the younger people.
I said young people and sensitive people don't listen.
I understand that, sir. But I also think that it's impossible for you to police everybody who listens to your program, for you to come on and say that there's no Easter Bunny. And I have two children who I love very deeply.
Well, what are you getting emotional about it?
I have two children, sir. And I could not reach the off switch in time when you said...
Oh, bull crap. I said, go, and...
I don't appreciate your language as my children are listening to your broadcast.
Would you get your kids out of the room then, sir?
I beg your pardon?
Get your kids out of the room so you and I can have an intelligent conversation without worrying about what the kids are going to hear, okay?
Y'all get out right now. I'll talk to the man on the radio. Okay, sir.
Are they gone?
Yes, sir.
What are you? You sound like you're emotional.
Yes, sir. I'm very emotional because you, on the radio, the broadcast, you said there's no Easter Bunny and my children believe in it.
Well, all right. Your children believe in it, as does one of my kids. All the kids used to believe in it, and I'm sorry that they that I said what I said.
I think you did.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
I'm. Just let me get my second wind.
Yeah, you get your second wind, man.
And I don't appreciate your sarcasm either.
All right, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Your kids found out through this show that there's no Easter Bunny, and I'm...
Why would you have to keep saying it?
Did you get him out of the room?
Yes, I did. There is a very real danger here, sir, and that is that if my children, for whatever reason, decide that... By us telling them that there is an Easter Bunny, and the possibility that now they find out there ain't no Easter Bunny, that they get upset about it, that there is a very real possibility of litigation.
What litigation? Kids are going to sue you?
A lot of children are doing that as a result of some kind of trauma visited upon them, and I can't, and I don't want to be sued by my own kids.
And I doubt very much if your kids are going to sue you. You're putting the idea in their head by talking about it, though, okay?
I could also file litigation against you for ruining my kid's Easter. And
well, you know what? Go ahead.
Alienation of affections as well.
All right, go ahead and sue me, all right? I've ruined your kid's Easter. Sue me. Won't be the first time. Phil Henry Show.